Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity, we wed our...
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
All right, everybody, how's everybody doing tonight? My name is Joseph Gibson, Blog Talk Radio, a little after 6 p.m. on the East Coast, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina. Hope everybody's doing well tonight. Thank you for the callers that have checked in already tonight, my supporters out in Wisconsin, California, Florida, Connecticut, several in the state of Connecticut. You guys are always here. I appreciate that. Got my friend from Nevada out there, several others. Hopefully my nephew from Fort Hood, Texas will check in tonight. I asked him to listen in. He's in the Army. He's stationed in Fort Hood, Texas. I know he was in Austin sightseeing this weekend because he posted it all over Facebook. You know, get back in that uniform, get out there and start fighting the terrorists there, buddy. But anyway, we're going to have a guest on tonight after I do a little short introduction. It was a little bit of short notice, and I apologize, but, you know, it's hard booking individuals because, you know, it's hard to get a hold of people. Everyone's going here, there. You send them a text message. You message them on Facebook. Surely you can't get a hold of them when you call them. Nobody answers their phone anymore. So that's that, you know, so you don't have to worry about that. But so it's a little bit of short notice. I usually like to advertise the show, but I'll advertise the show a couple days afterwards. So this individual doesn't have to worry about that. The message will get out there. I post it all over the internet, and these shows are archived, okay, on the internet. So whatever you say, the message you're trying to bring forward and expose, it will be on the internet forever, okay? There are shows from Blog Talk Radio from 4 or 5 years ago you can find, okay? So they're not going to go anywhere. They're here. And you can forward these shows. Any of my guests can forward these shows to their friends, post it on their Facebook page. I don't mind. I don't care. You know, you could spread it around because that's the purpose of this program, to give everyone a chance to talk. And by all means, there's a chat room. You know, we always get about 10, 12, maybe sometimes 20 people in the chat room. And then the phone lines are always up to about 40, 45. I can only hold 50 live lines. Okay, so if you're not able to get through, you got to wait for someone to hang up. I can only hold 50. And even then, it's hard because my screen can only hold about 10 of you. So I'm always scrolling up and down. And the phone number to call in, okay, is 657-383-0616 if you have a question or if you have something you need to say. And I will certainly patch you through. But right now, we're going to have an individual to tell their story tonight. So they have to press 1, and we contacted each other tonight on Facebook. So the area code is, I've got someone already calling from another number, so I'm going to go ahead and connect them. This might be my guest or someone else wanting to check in, so I'm going to go ahead and patch them through. I got a lot of people on the line tonight, so I've got to go up, and all right, there it is right there. There's the question mark. Hopefully this is my guest. Hello, how you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson. You're on the air live. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. What can I do for you?
I'm Rebecca. I'm the mother for Save Leonie. That's going all over Facebook. And someone very special told me that I should call in and that you were trying to reach out to me. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I didn't really get any messages. So she told me to make sure that I had called you.
Okay, so are you the one that I wanted to put on here to tell her story tonight, the one that Terry LaPointe put me in contact with?
Yes, I'm the one.
Okay.
I'm Rebecca.
Okay, all right. Well, then, I know, because like I said, it was short notice. I did read the story, but I'm very bad with names. But, yes, please, the floor is yours. So just, look, I know some people get nervous, and I put them in an awkward position, but what I'm trying to say is, you need to tell everyone that's listening about yourself, the situation you're in, and just basically your story and how you want to tell it. It's not up to me to tell it for you. I want you to put it in your own words. And, of course, I may jump in once in a while or somebody may have a question. I have a lot of supporters on the line. So wherever you want to begin and how this has happened to you, and just go ahead and explain away, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Well, again, my name is Rebecca. I'm the mother of two children, Anaya, 8, and Leonie, who is now 17. Leonie had a perfect, before Leonie was stolen from Michigan State CPS, Leonie had a perfectly healthy life. Total normal kid, high achieving, athlete, varsity swim, the typical teenager. Honor roll student, I mean, a mother's dream. Wasn't into makeup, boys, nothing. Was just really passionate about where her future was going to go, career orientated, college excited, all of that. 2 months after she turned 16, all of a sudden she just started acquiring abdominal pain and then just started vomiting everywhere. She went to one specialist at a Beaumont hospital here in Michigan. They couldn't figure it out. They then took out her, decided to explore internally, saw that she had some cysts and hernias, and then decided to take out her appendix. Later on, it showed that she had appendicitis, but it never cured the problem. She kept vomiting and just nauseous and could not hold any food. She was then transferred to another hospital. They discharged her after 3 days, saying that she had irritable bowel syndrome, steadily vomiting and nauseous. Then she came home, and once again, she became dehydrated, unable to maintain. She went to U of M Hospital. They said, oh, it's irritable bowel syndrome. It's all in her head. They tried to put a feeding tube in her, which I thought was really ironic. It didn't make an improvement. They discharged her, said she'll figure it out. She came home. Now she's still vomiting. Nothing's going good. She's seeing a gastro, being referred to different gastros. Nobody can figure it out. Finally, she goes back to her original gastro where they were able to put a feeding tube in her, bypassing her stomach and straight into her intestine. Now she's, you know, holding food, but severe abdominal pain, whether it was her intestines. Nobody knew where the pain was coming from. So she had always been in and out of the hospital trying to get stabilized so she can have somewhat of a teen life. At one point, one gastro decided that, you know what, it's time to put a permanent tube in her stomach. She can't leave this tube in her nose. She said, Mom, I don't want to be butchered anymore. You know, I want to go with Dad in California. Let me just figure it out with him. And I said, fine, not a problem. We closed our, we had a groom shop that was had just opened. We donated everything to animal control, over $25,000 worth of stuff. Closed everything because we had nobody to work it. Leonie was our first support, our first priority. So she gets a physical before she goes to California. Within 3 days of being there, it was time for me and the 8-year-old to come back to Michigan. Her feeding tube breaks. Immediately, her dad takes her to the emergency room. I'm behind with the 8-year-old getting dressed, and I would follow behind them with her grandmother. Miller's Hospital had no idea what this bridle was that was in her nose. They refused to contact Beaumont Hospital and decide to figure it out on their own. They called the wrong manufacturer. They then sent her to surgery. They gave her a cocktail of medications that she was allergic to, and it was noted in her medical charts. She then went into a coma for 3 days.
Oh, my
after
God.
That,
wow.
She, yeah.
Wow.
After, yeah. So now she wakes up after 3 days. She has, of course, I never went back to Michigan, but I sent the 8-year-old and came, flew out there, brought the 8-year-old back. So I'm like, she doesn't know who I am, has no idea, nothing. I asked everybody to leave the ICU room so I can be alone with her, and she puts her hand over my face and says, you're really pretty and you smell good, but I don't know who you are. And, of course, I break down crying. I'm like, this is my kid here. And so, you know, her mentality was not the same. It wasn't the same Leonie. So she had no usage of her body parts. She could not walk. She could not move her neck. All she could move was her left 3 fingers, completely, like, paralyzed here. After 3 weeks of intense physical therapy, she was able to walk again. But for 3 weeks, Miller's Hospital starved her body, gave her no nutrients, no food, and trying to see if they can reset her brain to start eating again. She tried. She vomited. We have footage. We have videotape of all of this. When we started complaining to that hospital, they called CPS. If you have a kid that's getting no new food or nutrients for over 2 weeks period and has lost over 13 pounds in their care, I think any parent would complain. Finally, the hospital discharged her with no further instructions other than to go see a psychologist.
What?
So when we, yeah.
This is incredible.
Exactly.
What I see is doing is trying to get themselves out of a liability situation,
yes,
because they obviously made a mistake,
yes,
and screwed up. Because they should have conversed, mm-hmm, with the doctors in Michigan, number one. And number two, they obviously misdiagnosed her and made a severe mistake. But go ahead, carry on.
Mm-hmm. And so when we get home, they diagnosed Leonie with a conversion disorder, meaning that it was all in her head, which just happened to her. I hired a psychotherapist, licensed psychologist, excuse me, who came in there, said that this was not a conversion disorder. They brought in a psychiatrist that diagnosed her with a conversion disorder while she was in a coma. I mean, come on now. How do you diagnose anybody with anything in a coma? So the second psychiatrist, right, you know. So the second psychiatrist comes in and says he does not want to be involved in this. He already sees the red flags that something's wrong. So anyways, they finally put a tube back in Leonie, feeding tube back in her nose, bypassing her stomach, excuse me, and they send her home. Well, by the time we got to her father's house, CPS was already waiting there. They did an interview, blah, 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 whatever. I'm now coming back to Michigan because I have to take care of the 8-year-old and make sure everything at the groom shop was closed. She was in good care. Her grandmother was a registered nurse. Her father was there with her. I trusted her father completely. And so they did MRI tests on it.
Who called CPS? The hospital?
Mott's Hospital. Mm-hmm. Because we argued with them and they did not
want us
in the room.
Okay, you showed up. All right, hang on. But you showed up. They were there waiting. Why? I mean, I'm just asking a question. Why did you agree to an interview? Who are they? Who are you? Your CPS, so what?
Did.
Get the hell out of here.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I would have did when I looked at her. I was just kind of like, are you serious? Our kid is coming home from the hospital and you're here right now? But her father, this was her father's house. He wanted to cooperate, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. So we did our interviews, never heard back from the lady. She says, well, you were called because you guys were being neglectful and abusive and did not know how to care for your child. I'm like, excuse me? Never was my daughter ever malnutrition. Never was she underweight. But there was never any toxic drugs, nothing in her system. So finally, I come back to Michigan. She's out there. She's recuperating still. She comes back a month later. She comes back to California, back to Michigan. She immediately, she gets back on a Wednesday, Thursday, she's back with her primary care. She gets all this neurological thing. Half of her body is still paralyzed. She can't do stairs. And I'm just like, oh, my God. Now she's having seizures. Of course, I call 911. She goes to a Beaumont Hospital. They said, oh, we're looking at records. It's a conversion disorder. I'm like, huh? They discharge her. I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't know what this is. So another seizure happens again. I call 911. She goes to her local hospital here. Psychiatrist, everyone says this is not a conversion disorder. So we have all these conflicting things that are going on. Nobody knows what it is. So the hospital transfers her to Mott University of Michigan Hospital. They said, Mom, we need to treat her brain like it came out of her head and was put back in her body. We need to retrain the brain to learn how to function. And I'm like, okay. They said, go home, take care of the 8-year-old. She's now in school, you know, to go take care of her. You can come see her. My father did not feel safe, so he flew from California State at University of Michigan Hospital, which was an hour away from us. Well, they were neglectful. They left Leonie unattended, their occupational therapy. Leonie got a concussion in their care. They left her to go take a shower, walked out of the room. She had a seizure, fell back, hit her head, flipping all over the bathroom tiled floor. Another night, I went up there. Something didn't feel right in my stomach. She was saturated in urine on the bed. Her feeding machine was going off. There was no milk, no nurses. And I'm like, what is this? When I called them medical negligent, they called CPS. CPS shows at the hospital. And I'm just like, well, what the heck? The lady says, she interviews the nurse, and I got to tell you, she was really awesome. She told me, take her home. This hospital calls CPS all the time. This is one of the biggest CPS places. Just take her home. I took her home. 3 days later, CPS was at the door interviewing us. At this point, I was pissed off, and I did the interview with them, not knowing that they had already spoken to my 8-year-old at the school with nobody was contacted. 2 weeks later, they came, like the SWAT team on November 4th. Fire
the SWAT team.
We called it the SWAT team. They came with the paramedics, the fire department, 2 police officers, 2 CPS agents, and medically kidnapped Leonie from our home November 4th at 6:08 p.m., right after she finished having her music lesson.
They took Leonie and
they threw her in jail. Leonie was placed at Children's Village Juvenile Jail is where they kept her for almost 90 days.
This is your 8-year-old?
No, this is my. This all happened to my 17-year-old.
Oh, you're 17. Okay, you're 17-year-old. Excuse me. They throw her in jail? Why?
Okay.
Why? Why? Why did they throw her in jail? What crime did she commit?
I have no No crime at all. They put her, it's called Children's Village, the same jail that the Tishmoni case, where their children were sent to jail for not having lunch with their father. The same jail. She was sent there. And they, when we asked, they said, well, that's because they have a medical facility. Well, so do hospitals. I was charged with Munchausen by proxy, meaning that I made her sick on purpose to get attention. And they said when they issued a warrant, they lied on the warrant saying that she had been sick since she was 9 years old and that my 8-year-old was at risk. And I'm like, huh? So she stayed in that facility. We had no contact with her. We didn't know she was alive, dead. We knew nothing about Leoni. We were going to court. They attempted to take the 8-year-old. My lawyers were awesome. They were not able to take the 8-year-old. And the 8-year-old remained in my custody to a doctor unless I had somebody with me. I could have had Charles Manson with me. I mean, I could have had anybody with me long as I didn't
see her. I'd be scared to take her. I'd be scared to take her to the doctor.
Oh,
after what just happened.
So, you know? Right, but I never had to take her, thank God. She had an ear infection one time, and but my husband was with me. I was like, listen, I don't even want to go. We had to get a note that said that we were supervised. It was so humiliating. So anyhow, I was on the news. Did a news interview sharing the story because it started grabbing public attention. Why are children being thrown in jail by CPS? It makes no sense. At a later point, Leoni was transferred from the jail into the shelter there. We had family fly across the country. I had to pay for background checks because they were out of state trying to get custody of Leoni. Every family member was denied. Finally, the judge was phenomenal. She said, you know what, you guys, I want everybody to withdraw. She asked the CPS to withdraw their case, but and said that she would take care of, you know, she would deal with it. She appointed Leoni two medical guardians, John Young and a Jennifer Callahan. And by the way, Jennifer Callahan is running from Oakland County probate judge. And they felt Leoni was released on January 22nd. We met with them. The judge said that we would be reunified and that I was to stay out of the house. My 8-year-old could come home, but the 8-year-old would be with me and we would stay at a hotel. Well, the hotel thing only lasted so long. Who can keep paying for a hotel and a mortgage and attorney bills and medical bills? Unless you have
nobody unless you're Donald Trump.
Right,
you
pretty
know?
Much, right? So the 8-year-old started coming home, and I just started, you know, there was times that I slept in my truck. There's times that I kind of slept at a neighbor's house. And then there's times where Leoni went to sleep at her best friend's house so I can come back home just to shower, eat, pack some clothes, wherever I'm going to be, where I'm going to be bounced around from. They told us that we would be reunified, you know, within a month or so. Well, it's been almost 3 months. We have not been reunified. We are living on an expired parenting plan that says that I could only see her for 30 minutes a week, which expired over 2.5 months ago. And so, mind you, Leoni is now 17 and a half. And the thing that's really stupid to us about all of this is that I have the 8-year-old with me, unsupervised all over the place, but yet I can't see a 17-and-a-half-year-old.
Well, now, hang on. Now, she's 17 in 6 months. They can't do anything because she'll be 18, correct?
Exactly. So they say. So because of the mental injury that she acquired from the California hospital, if she does not pass, like, some type of medical test, they can try to get an adult guardianship over her. I forgot what it's called.
They'll put her in some sort of mental custody where she has to be, she can't be in society or even a mental hospital or, like you said, some sort of guardian that can watch over her, except for you, of course, the mother, you know? So yeah, you're absolutely correct, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. So in the meantime, we're fighting for this because Leoni is back to school. Is the feeding tube out? Yes. Does she still struggle eating? I was told that she does. Does she still have problems using the restroom? Yes, she does. Does is her memory there? It's very fair. It's steadily improving. She's making remarkable comebacks considering all the stress that she's been under. She goes to school full time. She's getting all A's, a couple B's, the same grades that she was achieving prior to her injury, prior to all of this. She's driving. I'm paying for courtesy driving school, who's been phenomenal working with her. She's doing fabulous. And so at 17 and a half, the medical guardians will not allow her to see her doctor on her own. She has to get permission. But at 17 and a half in the state of Michigan, she can consent to having a pregnancy. She can consent to sex. She can consent to all kind of things, but she can't consent to her own therapist? Nothing. So Leonie did a news interview a couple weeks ago with Channel 7 out here, and she told her side of the story. It says, my mom did not make me sick. We don't know what's wrong with her because, again, nobody can take, she can't go to the doctor. Everybody's scared to touch her now because of the exposure.
What happened with the warrant they had for you? What happened with that?
No, when they came with the warrant to take Leonie, and on that warrant, like I said, it had all malicious lies on it. And, you know, what really hurt was when the referee told me that that was the worst case he had ever heard, when it was all lies, because, again, CPS put their version of what they wanted in order to obtain and take Leonie away.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like actually a Lifetime movie.
It doesn't.
I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It is. I've never heard such a thing in my entire life. And I'm not trying to talk about my life, but if anyone, a lot of people know about my life, I've lived a crazy life, and there's actually a book written about my life. But let me tell you, this is even more crazier. I've never heard something so nuts in my entire life.
Absolutely.
What caused this medical condition, though? What was the final analysis? Do they know?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. We still don't know what's wrong with her stomach. Leonie went to a gastro appointment almost 2 months ago, a month and a half ago. The medical guardians, the medical attorneys went there. That gastro doctor told her to eat some yogurt and come back in a couple of months. He's scared.
Wow.
He doesn't want to touch her. Nobody wants to. I would be intimidated too.
Yeah, I've got someone on the line right now, Joe from Meriden, Connecticut. He's probably got a question for you. So if that's okay with you, you don't mind, right?
Oh, fine. No, go right ahead.
Okay. Joe from Meriden, Connecticut, I'm connecting you, and you're connected. How you doing?
Good. How do you hear me?
I can hear you just
fine.
Hi.
That's good. I don't have a question. I just got some comments. Sounds like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. That's what it sounds like. You know, I just got a few comments to make, and then you'll know where I'm coming from. You know, I'm an older man, so I've been around. And what I found out is that, first of all, doctors and attorneys, they will not part with a dollar. So they're pretty cheap. Now, having said that, I've stated before, you know, if you go to the hospital and you have a broken bone, your doctor or hospital can fix it. If you go with a bacterial infection, they can generally figure out what it is, and they'll probably give you something, you know, to kill the bacterial infection. But in today's day and age, they've never been trained on poisoning. And most people are poisoned, and they don't even know it. And doctors don't know how to diagnose it because they've never been trained for that. They've never been trained really in nutrition. So they know nothing about nutrition. And there is no nutrition in your grocery stores. I walk into my grocery store, and on the right I see health food department. And I always think to myself, well, what does that tell me about the rest of the store then? But when you go in that health food section and you look at the ingredients, I would eat most of it anyway. But what it seems like, whether it were gastrointestinal problems and her stomach problems and the vomiting and all that, you know, your digestive system is the key to your body. If you can't assimilate what you consume, then it's not going to do you any good. So your digestive system has to be working properly. And generally in younger people it is. It's when you get older, because you've been poisoning yourself for decades and decades and decades, things start to shut down. And the way you're vomiting and everything, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not making any medical suggestions here. It's from my experience, from my empirical knowledge that I can talk about what I'm talking about, because I've done it and I've tested it. It appears to be that, you know, she has low acids in her stomach, or maybe too much. It's hard to say, but, you know, a couple teaspoons of organic apple cider vinegar will tell you which way to go. And parasites. Most people are loaded with parasites, and doctors really aren't going to find that unless they do the proper test that they do. But, bowel symptoms and things like this, constant diarrhea, that's generally due to parasites, and you could easily cure that with some allspice or clove.
Yeah, but Joe, hang on. But she's in the hospital, and you're telling me the doctors couldn't figure something like this out? You're telling me that they're not going to die? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about medical treatment. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All I can say is when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. That's what I'm saying.
One test that Leonie did do was called a gastric emptying test, where she had to eat a bowl of oatmeal to find out how fast did it take for it to start moving. It took 96 minutes, according to what the gastro told us, just to start
moving. Sounds like a low volume of hydrochloric acid in the stomach to me, then.
Yes, and they call it a gastroparesis, where they're saying, you know what, her stomach is not moving. And then, and you're right, they did call it's like a toxic control guy who did several stool samples looking for parasites and bacteria and growth, and they didn't find any of that. And so one gastro doctor told us that she has a motility disorder, which means the brain is not communicating, he told me, properly with the intestinal system. The stomach, the brain, and the intestines are not communicating. But which motility disorder does she have? We don't know, because she was taken. Nobody has allowed her to pursue any of that. So now she depends on diarrhea every day, forcefully diarrhea by giving her tons of fiber, in order to have a stool. From going to enemas every day to now using tons of this stuff. Now, to me, is that healthy? No. How is that healthy for anybody to have diarrhea every day because of the risk of being dehydrated?
Right.
Explain that, Joe. Diarrhea.
Well, I would definitely have her drink a couple cups of cloves tea a couple times a week and see if that helps. There's no parasites in the stool because they've attached themselves to the intestines probably, and they're not. And who knows what they're testing for? That's what they told
right.
you. What did they really do? You know. And, you know,
right.
And I'd also like to say, you know, in this day and age, you have to be your own doctor. I'm suggesting something here. You can research it yourself as the mom. And, you know, a cup of clove tea couldn't hurt, you know. I mean, really.
I totally agree. And, again, remember, everyone, I'm not allowed to be around Leonie. I only get to see her 30 minutes a day. So I don't know how she's eating.
Go on eBay and have a dozen sent to the house.
I know, right?
You're right. There's ways to get around it, but she don't want to get in trouble, Joe. She's probably you're under court order. You're not allowed to see her but 30 minutes. You know, and I'm sure, are you supervised? Do they watch you when you see her?
Yeah, it's supervised visits for 30 minutes a week and one 15-minute phone call a week. But yet, me and my 8-year-old are all over the place. And it hurts Leonie's feelings because she feels isolated. Like, why does mom, what is Anaya going to do with mom?
What are their plans? What are their plans when she turns 8? I mean, obviously, like I said, she's 17 and a half. 18, obviously, is a legal age where you can make your own decisions lawfully. But then again, they may not consider her, able to make her own decisions. I don't know. And what have they stated anything about this case where when she turns 18?
No. Well, according to the paperwork that the judge presented was that all of this is supposed to expire when she turns 18. you know, and we're really hoping that. But right now we're fighting. We go back to court this Wednesday, April 20th at 8:30 a.m., fighting just to be reunited or to be reunified. The guardians, the GAL, nobody has looked out for Leonie's best interest. She has been told that family right now is not in her best interest by her medical guardians. This is what I was told that was told to her. And she wants to be with mom. She wants to be next to me. She wants to meet a prom is coming up. You know, she wants to go pick out a dress. She wants to go get bras.
Yeah, she's thinking like a normal teenager. But I've got another individual here. Area code 407. I think you probably know this guest, so I'm going to go ahead and connect you. Hopefully, I can connect you here. There you go. Area code 407. Last four digits 7063. Go ahead. You're on the air. How you doing?
Hey, good evening, everybody. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Thanks. Yeah.
My name is Freddie Versoza. I'm the father of the seven angels of Kissimmee, Florida. One of the things that I wanted to kind of comment is that when the oldest son that I have, when he was born, he was never diagnosed with any kind of symptom as far as any medical issues. But since CPS has gotten him, or DHS, or now he's allergic to, all of a sudden he's allergic to all the foods that he's normal, you know, he's normal eating habits, and he's never had any seizures. He's never had any kind of medical issues, you know. And since they've taken him these children almost 2 years ago, it's been like all these kids were like in perfect health. They've never had any issues. They've never been in a hospital, never had any kind of problems. And all of a sudden, I have a son that had a sleep apnea. And I got another son that they said that he was never diagnosed when he was born. He was never diagnosed as autism, but now they claim that he's got autism. And,
yes, but in this case, though, this happened before CPS got involved. Am I right? My guest tonight. CPS got involved because of her sickness, correct?
Exactly. Yes, they got involved because the two hospitals that injured her called CPS. Now, mind you, 70% of Leonie's care was done at Beaumont Hospital. We never had a problem with them. They never called CPS. They were wonderful. Very supportive of the family, diligently trying to figure out what was going on with her. They never injured her. And we find it ironic that the hospitals that injured her were the ones that called CPS.
Okay. All right. Hey, the gentleman with Seven Angels, I know, because you have a problem with CPS also. Can you relate to her story as to what's going on?
Here's mine. And by the way, I know Terry LaFonte, and without her, I tell you, I wouldn't nobody would ever discover us. Here's the thing that really gets me though is that these children. I have another son that was born with a heart murmur, not a heart defect, but a heart murmur, an innocent heart murmur. So CPS got involved because they said we're medically neglecting them, we're abusing them, and all this. So I can't say exactly how you feel, ma'am, but in all respect, but the thing is that I think everybody that's been involved with CPS has pretty much a similar story. My son was born with a heart murmur, which is an innocent. The doctor already told us that it'll go away within a few months, that you do a follow-up. We were homeless at the time, and it took us almost 8 months to follow up. But then if it was something really drastic, you know, something would have happened to him. But he was in perfect health. But now, 8 months later, CPS said that they were going to help us get the transportation to take him to the hospital. They failed to do that, and then they blame that on us. Now the doctor says he's okay, but yet 9 days later after we got him checked out, they came out here and grabbed every single one of them, even the one that didn't have a problem. So you know, the question keeps arising. When is this stuff going to stop? When?
Well, you're absolutely correct. Maybe stop putting your trust in doctors, like Joe said, from Meriden, Connecticut. You know, today we kind of act like our own doctors. Like he said, you get a broken arm, they're perfect at that. You go to the hospital, they can fix it real good. But when you go there with an infection or some sort of sickness or bacterial infection something that where they have to try to figure out where they have to treat you with medications, and I say that word treat because doctors never cure anything. They only treat the symptoms, okay?
Right.
And as a doctor, now me, I'm just going to use a little comparison here. I used to own a landscaping business. Do you think I'd pull up to my customer's house and tell them how to grow their grass? I treated their lawn, so I would always keep coming back. The doctors are there for the dollar, like Joe said in the beginning. They want you to keep coming back, even though they swear an oath to do no harm, believe it or not. And that's why they shoot you up. What did you just say? After they were in with the state, the CPS, what happened? They started developing all these types of symptoms, autism. You want to know why? Vaccinations. All these poisons they're shooting into you. And like my son, the doctors wanted to shoot him up with the rotavirus vaccination. I argued with him for an hour. And guess what? 2 weeks later, it was recalled, okay, because it had swine in it. And over 28 children died throughout the country because of the rotavirus, and they recalled it. So, you know, what did that doctor have to say to me then? You know,
exactly.
well, yeah, you know, they're all full of it.
Right.
But the gentleman with the seven angels in your CPS case, go ahead, just say a couple more things, and I want you to call in the future and keep us updated with your case, because I know you were a former guest on this show a few weeks ago, and keep us updated, okay?
Well, Mr. Rebecca, I my heart goes out to you, and I tell you, and all to all the families that are listening right now that are going through this, and I tell you, it's been a nightmare for us, and like I said, you know, we're sitting here with no records whatsoever, but yet right now the son that I was telling you that's never gone through seizures, never had any food allergy, now he's got to have everything gluten-free, everything's got to be customized for him, which I have no problem. But the question there is, how did all this event? And like my friend there, Mr. Gibson, says, because of the vaccinations. Well, guess what? My daughter just turned 11 a few weeks ago, and they just had to shoot her at the same vaccination. So that's going to be another story that's going to be told, because I see the changes in her and all the kids. You know, so it's you know. Besides, anyway, this is not my show tonight. This is about Ms. Rebecca, with all due respect, and I'll update everybody else. But Ms. Rebecca, I just want you to know that there's a lot of people that are really pulling in for you and. My heart goes out to you and your family, and I wish you guys the very best.
Thank you. Thank you so
all
much.
Right.
And, you know, at one point, it's going to be disclosed for legal purposes. We're not disclosing it, all the events that happened to Leoni when she was in the jail. That's the gruesome part, which will later be coming out.
And you know what, Rebecca? We did a show about a month and a half ago with the Navy dad in Topeka, Kansas. I don't know if you heard about his case. Yes, okay. And he was on this program, and same thing. His child's been molested while being institutionalized, abused. And mm-hmm. I helped him out a great deal. I contacted the governor's office, several attorneys, and actually contacted the local news out there, and they promised me they were going to give him a press conference, and they actually did, because I just kept calling and bothering
awesome.
Them, you know. Yeah, because you know we have to get this exposed. We have to get this exposed
exactly.
more and more.
Absolutely.
Each and every state.
Absolutely. You know,
but
and
when
I
you go to court,
seems like.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Know,
go
the,
ahead.
The sad part. That's okay. The sad part that I'm finding is that it seems like the state seems to be going, or trying to create medical issues for children. And I guess, you know, I've been talking to many advocates and many supporters, and from what I'm being shared and the information and documents I'm seeing is that I guess these states receive more funding for children with a medical
issue.
Oh,
yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they
and
do. They receive more
they're
money.
They're like number one. They want all those kids.
You're absolutely correct, because they receive more funding with medical issues. And people – and that dawned on me at first when I first started studying this issue. I'm like, why do they want to kidnap a child with medical problems? Because we all know children are sold across the world, sex slaves, foster homes that where they're abused. And why would they want a child with medical issues? Well, you just said it, more money. Use common sense. It's all about the dollar in the end. And it's disgusting.
Exactly.
It really is. It's disgusting. Have you been on any other Blog Talk radio shows telling your case?
No, I haven't. We've just, like I said, we've just been on the news, our local Channel 7, and I've, you know, one of the most, she's been a blessing, the journalist, Kim Russell, here in Michigan, has been such a blessing, not only to me, but a blessing to Leonie as a supporter and being a friend to her, you know, and I just, she's just been like an angel sent. So we've just been interviewing with her, and, you know, and it's really hard because I don't know if most people know, we are not from Michigan. We are from California. So we have no family out here. Our whole
system is
in California.
I understand that situation. But what I'm trying to say is I'm going to put you in contact with another individual I know who I work side-by-side with on Blog Talk Radio. He broadcasts on two different networks, and his name's The Cap. And I'll send him your information.
Yes, we. I've been talking with the captain and listening to him. I haven't been on his radio, and I was told that he's supposed to be talking to Leonie coming up pretty soon. I don't know exactly when.
Good.
But
I will put a bug. I'll put a bug in his ear. I'll put a bug in his ear, and trust me, he listens to what I have to say. We support each other, so we'll get this going and get some more exposure, because that's the key: exposing these things so everyone. Because a lot of people just don't know what's going on until it happens to them, and then it's too late.
Right. And one thing that's really important for all families when they have court dates is that having court watchers, having people in that courtroom, because when these judges and these attorneys, when they see all these eyes on them, the pressure from the public, taxpayers, it definitely makes a difference. They don't want the noise. And so, you know, Rick, we've been asking if there's anybody in the community available here in Michigan, Oakland County, anybody available to help us with court watching, by all means. If you go to Save Leonie on Facebook, you'll find tons of graphics by all the advocates. You know, by all means, please join us and let's help get Leonie at least enjoy the last of her juvenile year.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, real quick. What do you hope to achieve in your next court hearing? What's your hope and prayers? What's the goal here in your next court hearing?
To be reunified. I would like to see my daughter. I would like to get to know her. I'd like to get to know who she is now. I'd like to learn how she functions. I'd like to know how she eats. I'd like to know how to prepare food for her. I like to know who she is.
You want to take care of her. You're her mom.
I want to be a mom.
You want to take care of her.
Hang on just one second.
How can I mean, do you have some sort of support network or where people can contact you or even try to help you expose this case? Just not through my network, but how can people contact you or offer support, prayers, or do whatever? You know, just like I said, expose this case. How can people get in touch with you?
The best way is through Save Leonie. The advocates are rapidly and avidly answering all incoming messages that are coming through. They have been putting people in touch with me. I do not run Save Leonie. I do not post on Save Leonie, but the advocates there are in contact with either my husband, a family member, or they'll try to get in contact with me. And so that's the best way right there.
Okay, I understand. Very good. I just had to mute one of my callers because he had a little bit of background noise. But before we finish up tonight, I've got about 9 more minutes before I finish up. Just anything else you want to add or anything else, or if there's anyone else who wants to call in just to offer your support or an opinion about this situation, her case. And, you know, we've covered a lot of CPS cases lately. It's important because our children in our world, in our country, are the most important things to us. They are our future. Without our future, we have nothing. So we really need to understand that. And this criminal organization, CPS, they are criminal. They're criminal. They're criminals. We've heard that now, and we've heard several cases already. I've helped out a few people and getting them exposure. So if you want to check in with me at 657-383-0616, you press 1, and I will pass you through. If you just want to listen, that's okay. I understand. I know I have several people in the chat room also. But before we go, what else, anything else you have to add to your situation or case or you, that you want told?
The only thing that I would like to add or just to say to all the families that are out there is when you find yourself on your knees, you know, about to give up hope and lose all the faith, don't. Keep fighting, and never give up. That's what is the best thing that I can say to everybody. You know, even when I'm sleeping in the truck at night, and, you know, thank God it's a big truck, tons of blankets back there, and I just kind of look out the window. And remember, this is Michigan. It's cold at night. Even when it snowed, you know, and I would cry and just pray. But, you know, my best friend was God and just believing and trying to having faith and doing my best to practice faith because it's kind of hard when you're going through a really, really rough time. But my best thing to tell all parents out there is don't give up on your children. Do not give up.
Never give up. That's great to say. That's actually great last words. And please, I want, and like our caller there earlier from Florida, you know, keep us updated, okay?
Absolutely.
Let us know what's going on. Check in with us, please. Do you
absolutely
have a friend here?
Yeah,
no matter what the topic
yeah
is, okay?
Okay, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be a guest on your show. I greatly appreciate it and for sharing safely, Ani.
All right. God bless you. And please, we are now friends on the social media, and keep me posted. And also
okay,
my friends and listeners also. And I'll do my best to try to help you out and expose your case and get more media attention, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much, and have a blessed
all
night.
Right.
Okay.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye.
Take care,
bye-bye,
everyone. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. God bless. And thanks for Joe in Florida. Thank you for the gentleman with the Seven Angels in Florida for checking in with me and giving me an update. Mike out in Wisconsin. Elizabeth in Galesville, Connecticut. Joe and Meredith, Connecticut. Peter out in San Diego, California. And about 25 others also on the line tonight. If you didn't get through, I apologize. I'm sorry. But, hey, tune in Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll have another guest. We'll have another great show. God bless. Take care.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, 3 shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if the American people learned the truth
the FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. What it will not tell you is that there have been 20 foiled plots, and of them, three were interrupted by members of the public. The 17 that were interrupted by the feds were created by the feds. Why do we pay the government to trick us into believing it is keeping us safe? What if a government that manipulated us could be fired? What if a government that lacked the true and knowing consent of the governed could be dismissed? What if it were possible to have a real game changer? What if we need a Ron Paul to preserve and protect our freedoms from the government? What if we can make elections matter again? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes to love your country you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand and time is running out.
Unless we do something, we're going to get the government that we deserve.
How did you let this happen? Wake up out there. You know, it's your children. Don't you care? Look what these people are doing to you.
There are 200 million adults in this country. Why we are letting them get away with what they are, why we're not marching in the streets.
Do everything in your power to restore freedom and your individuality back to America. Stop being a country run by the institutions for the institutions. Let's go back to we the people, by the people, for the people.
You have to stop being scared. You have to stand up and do what's necessary to take back, to stop these bankers, these elite, this government full of lies, congressmen full of liars.
And the Federal Reserve. And the fractional banking system.
And the Fed.
Elect Ron Paul and the war.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You, the people, have the power. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, let us all unite!
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in tonight. This is Joseph Gibson, Blog Talk Radio. If you have a show idea, show suggestion, you have a story you want to share, you have a complaint you want exposed, you have a problem, give me a call, 657-383-0616. Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will give you a chance to talk and say what you have to say. Or you can email me at Joe Gibson, hishome@yahoo.com. The show is called Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. We all need to understand the times in which we live in today. If you want to know about me, you can go to Amazon.com, pick up a copy of my book. It's called Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. Behind the Walls by Joel Hodnett. And you can learn a little bit about the past in which I lived and why I know the things I know today and what I saw. So anyway, everyone, God bless. Thank you for all my listeners. I appreciate it. Take care.